BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DeMarello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice, with your host.
Sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Called me awesome. She's sucking up for some reason.
I'm not sucking up. I'm in a good mood. Because, yes, folks, that's right. This is the very last rack
ever
aired in Utah.
Yeah, yeah. We are no longer going to be airing the show live from Utah.
Yes, so I'm packing my bags. I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement now. I am moving east. I will be Eastern time zone in a week. Hot damn. Which means there's going to be changes to the show, so we'll let you know what's not changing?
What?
The fact that the show is brought to you by the awesome people over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go check out youtube.com/MBG1211 for all his action figure reviews, stop motion animation, and just general awesomeness.
Yeah, he has a review of the Uso figures, and he has a Don't Try This at Home ad campaign on his YouTube page right now. Check it out. MBG 1211 on the YouTubes.
You know what, King Kittens? If you're not careful, you're never going to get that horn again. Keep talking smack.
He's tweeting it now. Wait, you can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio, and you can use the hashtag TheRack if you would like as well. We will interact with you there. We'll read your comments and all that fun stuff. We have an opportunity for you to interact with us live. Well, not live, but interact with us. And we'll tell you about that later in the show.
Yes. But we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, we have Slammiversary, we have Impact, we have NXT, and of course we have a discussion, which we're going to kind of get into because, well, next week's going to be kind of up in the air with me moving. So we're going to talk about the one subject going into Money in the Bank that I honestly really care about, which is, of course, Bray Wyatt. So we'll be talking about that later in the show, and we would have a question of the night, except, well, we were too lazy to come up with one last night. Sorry. Deal with it.
We have a lot to get to, so no question tonight.
Well, let's just call it what it was. We were too lazy. So now we're going to jump into the news brought to you, of course, by the fine folks over at PWMania.com. And, well, we kind of got to go with the biggest news that came out this week, which is, of course, ties into Money in the Bank, and that is that a second ladder match was announced on Main Event, with the first entrant being, wait for it, Seth Rollins. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, the going to be shiny Seth Rollins.
Yeah, he debuts his new gear on SmackDown, y'all. It's,
shiny.
It's special. But enough about his fashion choices. So, yes, so WWE will be doing a match for the title. In addition, they are going to be doing the normal briefcase match, which nobody was really surprised when this got announced.
No, we really weren't. Because it's been rumored for a while that they were going to do it. It's just getting around to announcing them. They want to get everyone in the first one before they went, oh, hey, here's a second one.
Right. So, because, you know, it's not Money in the Bank unless you actually have a legit Money in the Bank match.
You need the briefcase.
Yeah, you kind of need the briefcase. I mean, I think they were always planning on doing the briefcase match, but, well, Bryan's injury kind of sort of screwed everything, so, well, there you go.
Yeah.
But, so we get two ladder matches at the pay-per-view. So, I'm very curious to see, aside from Seth Rollins, who goes into that match. We're probably going to see Dean Ambrose get entered, which Ambrose and Rollins together in a ladder match. May God have mercy on everybody's souls, because Ambrose is going to lose his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I expect blood in that one, just point that one out.
I don't expect intentional blood, but yeah, I can totally picture it happening.
Someone's going to get whacked hard in the head with a ladder, and I see someone getting cut, at least, in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that. But moving on, speaking of cuts, thank you for the segue, the other big news kind of coming out over the last couple weeks is, really, again, no surprise, WWE is making budget cuts due to the network. They had anticipated a loss, and so now they are compensating for the loss by cutting the budget. They did this by doing releases. We've seen that they're cutting the NXT budget. Some of the entrances are being cut back. And they're just doing it, honestly, to save money. They're in total trying to save themselves $20 million out of their operating budget.
Which would be half of the $40 million they were losing. So at the end of the day, they would only be losing $20.
Yeah. And it's a good call. You know, it's unfortunate that you have to see people lose their jobs, but it's a business. And it's a good call by WWE that they're recognizing, hey, we're losing $40 million. And rather than saying, it's $40 million, they're trying to do something to at least stop the pain somewhat.
I think they would have been okay with the money loss, but they're trying to make Wall Street happy at this point. And yeah, so that's the problem. The Wall Street's not happy, so they're going to do things. They're kind of making some cuts, as Lindsay said, with the entrances. They're cutting back with, like, Fandango's entrance, and some of the Rosebuds won't be there every week.
Cane Kittens, I'm not hiding for a week, just so you know.
He's interacting with us on Twitter, as you can as well. But yeah.
Is there a post limit for Twitter? I'm just kind of curious.
After Saturday's night show, I don't think so.
Well, crap.
he'll be tweeting all night long, so you can, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, they're cutting back a little bit on NXT as well. The production team there will be cut down a little bit. And that's okay. It's one of those things that they've had a lot of people working, and now they're going to cut back a little bit, save some money. I believe they're making some of the crew members, since they're letting them ride on a bus, they're going to all have to travel in cars now, so back to group travel in cars. It's just one of those things about business. It happens.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but they're recognizing that they're losing money and they're trying to fix the problem. They're not going, you know, trying to cut $20 million out of your budget is a lot easier than trying to cut $40. And people are shooting off fireworks. 4th of July must be coming.
They've been shooting off fireworks here for about 3-4 weeks now for no good reason.
Yeah, but I think this is the first weekend that the fireworks stands are open.
Gotcha.
I need to shoot off my fireworks before I leave. I have fireworks that I bought like 2 years ago that I wasn't allowed to ever shoot off because a lady came and yelled at me in the parking lot.
Well, now you can shoot them right at her car.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was actually planning on shooting them off my very last day in Utah, so I'll have to remember to do that. But yeah, so...
I guess I need to remind you.
Probably.
Anyway, back to the news.
Anyway, back to the news. Another casualty of the budget cuts might be the fact that they are not doing a SummerSlam Access this year, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, they've cut back on the SummerSlam Access this year. They're running live events instead, which would make them a lot more money. They're going to be doing house shows in somewhere, I think, Reno and somewhere in California that weekend. Yeah, it's interesting that they're not doing it. Usually they use that. They have a little, it's not as big as WrestleMania, but they have autograph signings and they have a big ring set up. And last year they used that to introduce WWE 2K14 a little bit, and they even had Maria Menounos in a match in the ring at one point. It's sad that they're not doing it this year, but you can see why. It's probably not a huge moneymaker for them.
Well, a lot of it's actually because I went to SummerSlam a couple years ago, and a lot of it's free, the way that they do it. It's not like WrestleMania Access where you pay to get in. What they do is they set it up outside the Staples Center, and then you don't really pay to get in. You just kind of walk up, and it's something that's there outside the Staples Center. And it's gotten bigger every year. Like, I think you have to pay for the autographs, but by the time I got there, pretty much all the good people were gone. But they just set it up outside, and you can see the talent, and you can interact. And the year I went, they didn't have a ring set up. They just kind of had, like, them up on platforms, and you could see them up on platforms and that kind of thing. So last year was definitely bigger than the year I went, but I think it's mostly free, and so they don't make a lot of money off it anyway, but they were using last year's kind of, I think, a test, and given the experiences of last year concerning a certain panel.
Yeah, that panel, yeah. And another thing I just thought of that probably played a little bit into this, where's WrestleMania next year?
San Francisco.
That's probably another reason why they're not doing it.
Yeah. Is they don't want to oversaturate the market, but they brought the NXT people out last year, so it was a good way to show the NXT wrestlers to the WWE audience that maybe weren't at WrestleMania, because again, they also bring the NXT talents out for WrestleManias, but it's a good way to get them out and get them in front of a different crowd. And Kane, get and stop tweeting me for a minute, and just kind of get them used to that environment. And it's also a good way for maybe the new talent, because we saw that the Wyatts had just been introduced last year around SummerSlam. Bray Wyatt actually had his first first really debut match on SummerSlam last year. Had them out doing autograph signings and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was his first actual televised match at that point. Because it was his debut. It was debut match in WWE. He was around for like 4 or 5 weeks, and then he had the Ring of Fire match.
Infamous Ring of Fire.
Yeah, the infamous Ring of Fire. That was a match.
Special, special, very, very, very special.
Things have gone up from there.
Yeah, things have definitely gone up from there, which we'll get into later in the show. But yeah, so it's a shame that they're not doing it this year, but I can see why. It's something of they can make a lot more money off the house shows than they can doing SummerSlam Access. Because I'm sure for them it's a big hassle and a headache to have to coordinate all of that and bring people out that they don't necessarily need to bring out, but they want to.
Right.
And, you know, also they can control the environment a lot better with a house show than they can at Access, because as we saw at that panel last year,
got a little bit out of control, and it'll save money. They don't have to bring in all the talent. It'll be like a regular pay-per-view where they don't have to bring everybody out.
Yeah, they can just bring in really who they want or who they need, and that's it. So, you know, it is what it is, and we may see it return next year. Who knows?
I would assume it returns in 2015. Again, I think the combination of budget and Access being out in San Francisco in that whole general area. Yeah. I think that's another reason why it's not going to be there. But we're talking all about, you know, WWE cutting back and cuts and all that fun stuff. I think they've made some sort of creative change.
Yes, they did. It seems that WWE has released their head writer, and they did so this past week as was evident by the very severe change on Monday Night Raw, where we saw it booked completely different than it usually is.
Yeah, the head writer, Jay Gibson, was cut by WWE CEO Vince McMahon over the weekend. Sources believe the change was made on Friday, which would have been the day after WWE released 11 Talent, part of its first wave of internal changes. It was part of the whole fallout, and the guy hasn't sort of... He wasn't really a big part of the process. He was a guy who put the show together, but was not fully involved in the creative process totally, since he's only been there a few months. And his lack of wrestling knowledge sort of made everyone go, why is he still here?
Yeah, basically what happened is he was more coordinating resources, which is kind of what a head writer would do, is he was coordinating with the regular writers as far as who was working with whom on their storylines and kind of sort of spearheading that. And then what got him, I think, on it ultimately was when they asked his opinion on Wrestling Matters, he really couldn't give one, or he didn't give one that lined up, because he had no product knowledge really whatsoever in working with the WWE. And yeah, what you do need to have some product knowledge, especially if you are the head writer of, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment. You should know kind of a little bit about the product. You should know about the superstars. You should know about all that kind of stuff. So I think that obviously bit him in the butt. And yeah, Vince had enough and was like, see you, bye.
Yeah.
And basically what happened Monday night was they wrote the show to make Vince happy, which was very evident by a lot of the things that we saw. But hopefully this will not affect the overall creative direction of the company, since it seems like Jay wasn't necessarily writing storylines for anybody. This is not going to be like it was last year at this time when the head writer left, where he was it's like you could tell it's August, or you could tell it's summer, the head writer's leaving. So, you know, but it's...
Let's look for a change of job on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh. Pretty much, yeah. So, he wasn't spearheading, I think, any storylines, so we won't see what happened the last time the head writer left, where kind of a lot of storylines, he got them to a certain point, and then they all went,
Where do we go from there? What?
Yeah, which was really evident after SummerSlam, because, like, a lot of people were just like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? With, like, all these people. Mm-hmm. So it just hopefully that won't happen this go around, but they obviously have a direction and they're going in, and I think they're going to continue to go in it. But yeah, so sorry to see him lose his job. That always sucks, but if you don't know what you're doing, you probably shouldn't be in the job in the first place.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just pointing that out.
But there are more changes happening in WWE, Lindsay.
Oh no, what?
You know, we have this thing called hashtag Rack Exclusive, right?
Yeah.
Like, 3 months ago, we told everyone a story, and now it's actually in the news. Like, how the WWE is changing its logo. Yes, WWE is changing its logo, starting with probably SummerSlam, or at least the day after SummerSlam. They're using the WWE Network logo, as we told you 2-3 months ago when we found out. But now it's all over the internet going, oh my god, I can't believe they're changing it.
Well, this isn't a surprise. You probably figured this was good. A lot of the news is not a surprise. And, you know, again, yeah, we broke this story. And you've already started to see the changeover happen with the network logo, in the sense that it's all over the microphones and the ring apron and the setup for the pre and post shows. They're slowly phasing the new logo in, and they're phasing the old logo out. And obviously the very last change that we'll see is on the title belts.
Right.
And that may happen as soon as SummerSlam. We don't know.
That's sort of the idea. They told all their marketing people that, you know, starting on this date, we're going to be using this logo, put it all on every, you know, t-shirt, DVD, as we saw with the Undertaker Kane DVD. It's right on the top.
Right.
Of that. So yeah, it's coming. The network logo is going to be on everything, and it's all over NXT. It's starting to become on WWE regular television, and that's why the belt hasn't been changed over yet. They're probably getting the new logo implant it on it.
Yeah, they probably have a new faceplate for it, and they'll just replace the old faceplate with the new faceplate, and then they'll combine the two titles into one, and it'll be the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at that point, because there's no sense in debuting the title before you have to.
Right.
Kind of deal.
Pretty much, that's the deal, so.
So yeah, so we're gradually seeing that change. Look for it to happen fully in August, because I believe that's the actual deadline.
August 18th, I believe, is the start date.
But you know who else had a start date?
What's that?
Punk and AJ. They made it official. They got married. Congratulations to them. Does anybody know what the actual wedding date was? Because I was hearing Friday the 13th.
It was either Friday night or Saturday morning. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, nobody really knows when the actual wedding date was. There was a rumor on Twitter that somebody put out a tweet saying that they had done Punk and AJ's wedding license, and that Twitter was since deleted, as was, you know, obviously the tweet, but people screen capped it, and it went everywhere. So, and they had said, or he had said, when he was doing a Chicago Cubs baseball game and he was doing commentary, that he was getting married in June.
So if you put two and two together, there you go.
Yeah. So Punk and AJ are officially married. Congratulations to them. She's now Mrs. Punk. So it will be interesting to see if AJ comes back.
I expect her back for SummerSlam.
I would expect her back for SummerSlam too, but you never know.
You never know.
So, but yes, congratulations to them. And, well, I would say congratulations to Vince as well, but it seems he has a slightly hollow victory.
Sorta.
If you've been kind of following the story, we've been kind of covering it off and on. Vince has had a private war with the Twitter handle Cranky Vince. He's actually managed to get it taken down two or three times, and it looked like, at least for a little bit, that Vince McMahon had succeeded in getting Cranky Vince removed by actually finding out who ran the Twitter and talking to them about it. But, well, that talk may not have gone as well, because it seems Cranky Vince is back.
Yeah, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I don't know if it's still up there now, but it was this afternoon that I was just scrolling through my feed, and it's like, wait, is that Cranky Vince? Hot damn, it's Cranky Vince. He's back on Twitter and talking about Lana. Boy, color me surprised.
Unless somebody else grabbed it.
It had the 26,000 something followers. So.
Okay, well, then.
It may be back. Twitter on the app is not working currently, so I can't sort of find the Twitter for it. So, but apparently it could be back, and it may have been taken back down again. Who knows? But
let's see. If I can spell it right. Cranky Vince. There's two accounts for Cranky Vince, and there's actually his backup account with two R's.
Right.
And because the last time he got taken down, he needed two R's to kind of stop them.
Yeah, just so he can continue doing what he was doing. Yeah, apparently it's back, so.
Yeah, he's back, and he was tweeting as of 6 hours ago, so, well, looks like Vince McMahon may need to have, you know, another talk with the guy, because, yeah, it seems that, well, didn't quite work out.
No, there's this whole big story that came out this week that, yeah, they had a talk, he found out who it was. Vince has a love-hate relationship with the Twitter. He likes it at times and then is furious with it. So, yeah, it's gone. Now it's back. So, we'll see how long it lasts this time.
Of course, everybody's real question was who's actually running it. Because nobody knows.
Many think it's JBL because of the accidental, hey, it's the same tweet in 5 seconds between each other.
No, I don't think it's JBL.
Do you think it's a former writer?
It's either somebody that's really close to Vince that has access to him, or it's somebody in the company, or it's a series of somebodies in the company. Because, you know what, it's like, everyone's like, oh my god, it's JBL. It's like, you know what, the guy that runs the Cranky Vince account could have copied JBL's comment and pasted it in there and hit tweet.
Oh yeah, for sure. It'd be funny if it's like Michael Cole.
Right? I would actually respect him if he ran into Cranky Vince. But yeah, I think it's somebody very obviously very close to Vince, because Cranky Vince has leaked stuff in the past. He has broken news in the past. Yeah, it's somebody in the company. It's somebody that's close to him. And it's kind of interesting how many times they've tried to get the Twitter removed and have not succeeded.
You really can't. It's hard to get something kicked off of Twitter and have it stay off of Twitter.
Yeah, well, basically it was before they managed to get him kicked off because he didn't have the fact that it was a parody account. And so he put that it was a parody account, and he put it back up, and then they tried to get it taken down again, and they couldn't get it taken down. And now, again, supposedly it was deleted, and now it's back. So, again, the love-hate relationship.
It continues, so we'll see everybody correcting our reports tomorrow.
Yes, so the saga continues. Boom, 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 boom. And if you don't follow Cranky Vince, he's hilarious.
He is hilarious on Twitter.
So, that's, I guess, the all exciting news, or not?
Now, there's another piece of exciting news. If you've been listening to us on the Rack Extra Total Divas, well, Total Divas has actually been nominated for, I don't know, Teen Choice Award this year.
Ooh.
So that you can vote at, I believe, the article's up on www.com right now. It's, I think, for favorite reality show or something to that effect. Whatever the Teen Choice Award for reality show is.
Yeah, it's they're up there with, like, Keeping with the Kardashians and a couple other shows. So crossing your fingers and hoping that they win the blimp or the surfboard or whatever it is and they get slimed.
No, slime would be the Kids' Choice Awards. This is for teens.
Oh. Then the surfboard.
This they get surfboards, yeah.
I can't keep track of who gives out what and what they do anymore. There's too many goddamn award shows.
Oh, I know, and it's great content for CB Radio Saturday Nights, Midnight Edge on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as we have somebody pick weird award shows. I think we're going to have them pick the BET Awards at some point.
Oh, no. Tune in Saturday nights right after Cards Against Humanity. It's kind of epic. But speaking of kind of epic, it's just a couple quick notes. CMT announced that they are hosting Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge, which is a new reality show.
Yeah, the Broken Skull Challenge will debut on Sunday, July 6th at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. The brainchild of pro wrestling icon Steve Austin, the 10-episode series pits elite athletes against everyday men and women in the ultimate test of strength, stamina, and wit. Each episode features 8 contestants in head-to-head battles until the last man or woman standing earns the right to take on the toughest obstacle course in America, created by Austin himself, the Skull Buster, for a chance to win cash. So yeah, debuts on Sunday, July 6th. Check it out.
I'm going to have to check it out and see which is tougher, the American Ninja Challenge or Steve Austin's Challenge.
Well, it's Steve Austin. I would say Stone Cold.
Probably, yeah. It was also announced that Shawn Michaels is coming out with a new book, which is Wrestling for My Life. The Legend, the Reality, and the Faith of a WWE Superstar, and it is slated to come out in February of 2015, if I could talk. And the official promo for the book reads, "In Wrestling for My Life, WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels shares from his heart about the highs and the lows of his life inside WWE. Included are some never-before-shared stories and an intimate look into his career, as well as stories of hunting, family, and faith. With millions of fans, Michaels has adulation and all the attention he could ask for, but he discovered there was something more. When he became a committed Christian during his years in the WWE, and it had to affect everything. Michaels reveals what it was like to be a man of faith in this unusual world and shares insights for all of us." So, should be interesting.
I'm actually looking forward to that. That should actually be fun. It should be a fun read, and yeah, Shawn Michaels, he has some good stories, so go check out that book. Speaking of books, though, Lindsay.
Hmm.
You know, our buddy Brian Shields, he has a book coming out.
Oh, does he now?
30 Years of WrestleMania, from the creators of WWE 50, and the official WWE Encyclopedia. 30 Years of WrestleMania gives you an in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at the show of shows, the history of each WrestleMania from both sides of the curtain, stories from influential figures including Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, and many others, behind-the-scenes photos and anecdotes, special tributes to The Undertaker Streak, Mr. WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, and more. Includes an exclusive Topps trading card featuring The Undertaker.
I'm not ready to forgive him yet.
Plus, the foreword is written by the author of Wrestling for My Life, The Legend, The Reality, and Faith of a WWE Superstar, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Nice tie-in.
Thank you.
Ding!
Thank you. Comes out. Yeah. It comes out this September.
Should be very exciting. Congratulations to Brian Shields. Can't wait to check it out. It should be really cool. And, you know, maybe we should talk to him about that.
We might just do that. It's available for pre-order now at Amazon.com.
And finally, one last story. At least I think it's one last story, unless Rock has something he wants to spring on me.
I have two written here, so let's see.
Just as a quick note, it was announced that Matt Hardy will be making his return to TNA.
He'll be appearing at, I believe, the June 27th TV taping in New York City, as they announced tonight on Impact. So that should be fun. The Hardy Boys reunite. Though if you watch your TV, it's like, wait, what? Why are they reuniting? But we'll see what happens as that plays out. And the one other TNA story.
I'm going to just keep my mouth shut on Matt Hardy going.
TNA has had a poll going, right, on ImpactWrestling.com, where you, the fans, get to decide their future.
Oh, God.
Yes, they were one of the fans to decide whether they would use the six-sided ring or the four-sided ring. A lot of wrestlers have come out and outspoken against the six-sided ring, how the ropes are a lot tighter, it's a lot harder to use, they're bruised, they get bruised more using the six-sided ring, but TNA's like, you, the fans, vote for it. The voting ends in about 13 minutes from now. You go to ImpactWrestling.com and vote, and the new ring will be officially announced tomorrow and used at the Impact tapings starting in New York, and this is for the rest of the existence of TNA until they decide, hey, we're going to switch wings again. But you can now dictate the future at ImpactWrestling.com.
And there's actually a lot of controversy surrounding this decision, because several of their talents have spoken out against this, saying that it's a bad idea and they don't want to see the six-sided ring return. That they actually, Austin Aries in particular has been very vocal about it.
Yeah, he has. He's gone off on Twitter about it. Follow him at Austin Aries, and you can read his comments. Yeah, he's gone off. I believe, was it EC3 who also went off on it, I believe?
Yeah, EC3 is not happy about it. There have been a couple other talents who have said things regarding the ring and how they basically don't like that the decision's being left up to the fans, and also that they don't want to see the six-sided ring return.
But according to Dixie Carter on Twitter,
The Twitter machine?
Six-sided ring was leading at one point.
You know, honestly, I'm not surprised that it was. I'm really not.
No, the diehards are going all for it. Yeah, let's get back to six sides, because why not?
Well, I think it's something that the six-sided ring always made TNA stand out. I know that AAA Mexico also uses a six-sided ring, and it's something of, it was different. It was, when it came onto American TV, it was innovative. And it was cool, and it was, a lot of people remember the six-sided ring in TNA. And then when they went to four, they kind of looked like everybody else.
Right. I would stick with the four-sided ring. The six-sided ring, as you mentioned, it just sort of got tiresome after a while.
It's in terms of doing like cage matches and doing a lot of the gimmick matches that they do, short of Ultimate X, it's very cumbersome for them, because you have to have, obviously, do the setup completely different. And in their case, which I don't know if they actually own their steel cage or if they rent it.
I believe they own the cage.
Yeah, it would be... It doesn't make sense that if they own the cage to get another one made, especially given budget issues that they have, to go back to six. But also, in the case that they're in doing a house show or they're doing a TV taping and they need a steel cage and they don't have one, you could just call around at local indies and see who's got one. And you've got a four-sided ring. It will match up perfectly. You're fine. So it definitely gives them more options in terms of if they need to get equipment at the last minute. The four-sided ring is obviously 100% compatible with pretty much anything that they could find, whereas the six-sided is not.
Right.
But, you know, I would actually like to see the six-sided ring one more time, and I think it's actually coming up on the next pay-per-view that, or the next, not pay-per-view, but, yeah, I guess it is, TV special, whatever you want to term it, One Night Stand, where I think they do bring back the six-sided ring one more time.
So, will it be one more time, or will it be here for good? I guess we'll find out tomorrow on ImpactWrestling.com.
I guess we will. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact and, of course, Slammiversary. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my babies, where I'll be.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burr, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? It's going to be great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Damn.
I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done.
I think something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
By our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MVG1211 for all your action figure review needs, because, well, it's awesome.
We should mention you should also follow at WWE TNA Figures as well on Twitter.
Yes, we should, you know, pimp them out, because that's important.
That is kind of important.
Still jealous that he has Bray Wyatt and Eric running the car. Very jealous.
And I think he has the chair as well.
Yeah, he does have the chair, because it came with Rowan and Harper, and I just, yeah, can't find them. Actually went looking for them today, and I couldn't find them. Very upset. But anyway, we're going to talk now all about tonight's exciting Impact, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
But before we get to Impact, we should talk about the pay-per-view.
Oh yeah, I guess we should talk about that, shouldn't we?
That would kind of be that we should go in order, because things have happened since then.
Yes, 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 they have.
Yes, we're doing our Slammiversary review, yes, it does. And somebody, I'm checking my email, somebody's slacking. I don't have results for Pick'em. Somebody's slacking. Just point that one out.
Because he's too busy tooting his own horn.
Which he does often. Anyway, Slammiversary. This was a fun, fun show, I thought.
It was. It really was. It was a lot better than I was expecting it to be.
Uh-huh.
Some of the matches didn't go as smoothly as I would have liked, but the main event was good. It delivered, and I thought the women's title match delivered also, but I say we jump into it and we talk about it.
Yeah, we'll start at the beginning a little bit. The opening, the show started with Kenny King talking with MVP and his crew. How there's a plan, and Dixie went to the board and to undermine MVP, and MVP isn't supposed to actually be here, but he actually is. And tonight he wants Kenny King to make sure MVP has his back, and, well, MVP says Kenny King's on his own, and he should have his own back tonight, just like Lashley has his own, and needs to have his own back, because he's a man with an injured knee. And, well...
Yep, there's nothing MVP can do to protect him.
Nope, and except for hit people with a crutch. But anyway, that's besides
the point.
We'll have... There's more with MVP to come. Our opening contest of the evening at Subversary was the X Division Championship ladder match. Oh my god, this was insane. Sonata defending against Eddie Edwards, Tigre Uno, Davey Richards, Crazy Steve, and Manic. Oh my god, this match didn't even, like, didn't even wait to get in the ring. Manic dove on the Sonata to open the match before everyone even was in the ring. Wills did a double dive. Tigre Uno did a nice corkscrew dive on everybody on the outside of the ring. Uno went for a Hurricanrana at one point and got stopped. Took an enziguri and German suplex by the Wolves into a ladder, which was an insane bump just to start with.
Oh, yeah.
Fans in this one were actually behind Crazy Steve, of all people. Like, there were multiple Crazy Steve chants. I was like, wait, what? Is that actually happening? And it sort of did. He did the old...
Which is funny, because he didn't really do a lot in the match.
No, but his one moment... was the airplane spin where he put the ladder on his shoulders and spun it around and everyone ran into the ladder. It's like,
yep.
Whee! At one point, Manic got shoved off the ladder onto everyone by Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve was about to get the title but got stopped by Sonata. Sonata then moonsaulted onto Crazy Steve onto a ladder, which looked like it hurt. Tigre Uno set up a bridge with the ladder, having the ladder open in the middle ring and the ladder, like, bridging out over to the rope. And he pulled Sonata up the ladder with him and looked like he was going to do something big. He got shoved away. Wolves did a double powerbomb codebreaker combo onto Tigre Uno, which was, like, looked like Davey Richards blew out his knee, but it was fine at that point. But it's like, that can blow out your knee.
That could have been bad.
It could have been bad. The Wolves climbed to the top, both slung it out. At the top, it was that one big moment. Oh, hey, they're finally going to face off, and one of them's going to get the belt. Dueling headbutts between one another. Edwards and Uno superplexed each other to the outside, which is, like, again, dangerous spots right there. Manic hit a sunset for the powerbomb onto Richards on the bridge ladder. It's like Richards' head went, like, through the ladder. It was, like, crazy. Not quite like Crazy Steve with two Z's, but just crazy himself. But at the end, Sonata was able to pull down his title and retain the gold. Crazy opener. I wish this match meant something more than it did. It just sort of, oh, hey, here's an opening match on a TNA show. I wish it mattered, because some of the spots they did, it's like, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah, they went for it in this, although there were a couple where I think Sonata and a couple others just weren't sure really kind of what to do. They may not have ever done a ladder match before, I have no idea. So there was a little kind of either nerves or they were unsure or something, because you could tell. But yeah, they absolutely went for it. They tore down the house in this match. They gave it everything they had. People could have been hurt, really severely hurt several times over, but thankfully no one was. But yeah, this was a really, really, really good opening contest.
Oh, it was. It was very enjoyable. It was, yeah, really good match. Again, I was hoping it would actually have meant something, but so it shall be. So it shall reign. Good match. Nice start to the show. And one thing that helped, and we're going to talk about this throughout the show, hot crowd all night long. I believe there were like 3,000 people at the show. So that's a good, solid crowd for TNA.
Yeah, that was very awesome that they had a hot crowd the whole night, and they were just into the show. And that always makes it so much more enjoyable to watch when you have somebody, you know, and you have a crowd that's into the show and they want to be there.
Yep. Our next contest of the evening featured, before we get to the next contest, MVP came out with his crew because he's supposed to be in the hospital. He talks about the reception he's getting, and they're booing crap out of him. He took a shot at the Cowboys and how awful they are. Talks about how you spent your hard-earned money to see him become your TNA champion. But because Dixie Carter decided to go to the board of directors, he has been censored by the board. Says all he has done was make TNA better. The board assured him, as the director of authority, he's going to make give everybody a fair match tonight in the main event. Talks about Lashley facing Joe and Kenny King facing Double A. Austin Aries tonight, with the winners going on to fight for the title in the main event. Says he can't be any more fair than this. And then Kenny King talks about how they know how to get it done, unlike Tony Romo and the lame-ass Cowboys.
Burn.
And he said, Joe, tell me how it feels when the predator becomes the prey.
Yep, this was a nice little, very nice little segment, including the Cowboy shot.
There were multiple Cowboy shots throughout the night. It was awesome.
I like to point out they took the shots, not us. We're just reiterating the shots.
Yeah, yeah.
And that led to, well, Bobby Lashley versus Samoa Joe.
Lashley was strong early. Joe made a little bit of a comeback early, but Lashley controlled most of this match. He hammered him with hard shots, these two just beat the crap out of each other for a little bit, but it was Lashley really dominating over and over, hard shots repeatedly, even locked in a nerve hole trying to wear down Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, though, fired back with the big old comeback with the Atomic Jock, hard kicks, and a senton splash for a two count. Joe slammed him down and went for the rear naked choke, but Lashley fights out of it by driving him to the corner. Hit him some punches. Joe reversed him, tried to go for the muscle buster, but Lashley got out of it. Joe almost got whipped in the ref. Joe stopped. Lashley charged and connected with the big spear. Bobby Lashley moves on to your main event for the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Called that right.
So did I.
Ha ha. So, yeah. This is a good match, but again, yeah, it was like... You could tell Lashley was extremely dominant. Joe had a really nasty bruise on his thigh, too.
Hey, you did.
But yeah, this was a good match, but I would have liked to have actually seen a little bit more offense from Joe.
A little bit more, but I was kind of confused. I thought we would see more from him, but apparently not.
Yeah, apparently not, so... But solid match, solid contest.
We then head up to the luxury box. JB is interviewing Dixie Carter and Spud with... I should call him the Joker.
Yeah, he was dressed as the Joker.
Yeah.
It's actually the simplest suit I think I've ever seen him wear.
Compared to the one tonight, yeah. Dixie talks about how it's given that tonight EC3 beats Bully. They drew Carter blood. No one messes with the Carters that Dixie was talking about. Talks about the important meeting she had, and she will talk about it when she's in the ring. Talks about how Karma bit MVP in the butt. Says blowing his knee out was bad, but you haven't seen anything yet. So Dixie is sending messages at this point.
Yes, she is.
Which leads to our next contest, the most surprising of them all. Willow took on Magnus. Magnus at Bram. Abyss was in Willow's corner. Willow was distracted early by Bram, and Magnus went on the attack. Willow tried to slide out to get to Magnus, but got caught in the apron, just got beaten down. Kind of think that spot's overdone lately. Magnus delivered a big powerbomb to Willow and just continued beat on him on the corner and in the the canvas. Willow makes a comeback with his flipping kicks and swinging drop kick in the corner. He goes for a twist of fate. Magnus charged in, ate some boots, did some sort of weird flop, and Willow goes to the middle rope, hit a big splash, two count. Willow goes for his swanton, missed. Bram tries to interfere. Abyss stops him in the brawls with Bram on the outside. Bram and Magnus were double-teaming Abyss on the outside, and then Willow does a free fall, the trust fall, on the Magnus of Bram, which takes a lot of guts to do. Like, seriously. He didn't even look back. He just fell backwards. It's like... Holy crap, mm-hmm. you must really trust them to be there, because, yeah. And then in the moment of like, huh, what, huh, Abyss and Bram are fighting in the ring. What? Why? I don't know. But they started fighting in the ring. Abyss ends up tossing him out of the ring. They go back to the outside. At one point, he had At one point, Abyss had Janus, and Bram had a weapon of his own. Willow hits the Twist of Fate, 2 count. Bram has the turnbuckle corner. That's where Abyss pulled out Janus. Magnus charged into Willow. Willow went to the top rope. Magnus dives into him with a big slam. Drives him into the mat with a big slam after he took him down from the top rope. And Magnus clean beats Willow. I was surprised by that outcome.
I was surprised by the outcome. I was surprised this match did not get a step tapped onto it.
Like, out of everything, this one should have had a step.
This one should have had a step, especially given the amount of shenanigans that were in this match. Should have had a step. Very surprised it did not. I'm surprised Magnus went over, but not too surprised. I think at this point they're just... I don't even know what's going on with this feud, but if you're going to line Magnus up to be a champion again, you got to keep him looking strong. I don't know. I don't even know what they're doing with this, but yeah, it was surprising, but this either should have been a tag team match, should have had a stip tacked onto it. Obviously, at some point, we're probably going to see Abyss and Bram.
Or a combination of the, maybe all four together.
Yeah, something, I don't know, but yeah, this isn't over.
Clearly, as we watch Impact 9, but we'll get into that here in a bit. Up next, Kurt Angle comes out and announces the 2014 TNA Hall of Fame, and he announces that the greatest tag team of all time, Team 3D, is going into the Hall of Fame. Woohoo!
Which we were sitting here, and it's funny, because we were sitting here last week, I think, after the show, and it's like, who the hell are they going to put in the Hall of Fame?
And I did not think Team 3D was going in.
I thought it, but it was like, no, they're not going to do that, because it's like, it kind of conflicts a lot with their present storylines, especially seeing as Bully Ray is feuding with Dixie and MVP.
Right, but apparently that doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point, but still cool to see them go in. They definitely deserve it. They've earned it.
And TNA did one of the WWE things where they hid D-Von in the truck and brought him in at the very last second. So no one knew that he was going into the Hall of Fame.
Fair enough.
So that's how they kept the surprise from leaking out. Bully and D-Von came out. We want tables chance for about 5 minutes. Bully says it's good to be in the ring with D-Von again. They hug, welcome back chant. Bully says they accept it for one reason and one reason only, because of all the fans. So the fans are responsible for making them the most successful tag team in wrestling history. D-Von vowed to never come back to TNA last August, but the fans chanted, "You still got it." He says he's been up and down the highway with Bully, creating history and collecting titles everywhere. And talks about they will go out in a blaze of glory, signifying bound for glory. And the one funny moment in this whole thing, someone behind them had a sign that said, "The real TNA Hall of Famer is AJ and Jarrett."
Oops.
That was just funny. But it was a cool moment. The crowd was really into it. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Very enjoyable. Pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. We had EC3 talk about his match coming up with Bully Ray. He says, yeah, he beat the first inductee Sting, then he beat Kurt Angle, and after beating Bully Ray tonight, he'll become the hardcore American icon. And then he talks about being in Carter country, not Von Erich country, and tonight he fights for his grandma, his grandpa, EC2, TC3, and his entire family.
It was a good promo by EC3.
He's really good on the mic.
He is. He's really good. He's very entertaining on the mic.
He's very confident when he's on the microphone. We then go to the next matchup, which would determine the third man in the cage. Kenny King, Austin, Aries. There's trash talk early. Kenny King shoves Aries. Aries comes back with a dropkick into the corner. Kenny King's on the outside. Aries hit a big dive from the top rope onto Kenny King. Aries, at one point, got caught on top rope. Kenny King hit him with a hard kick, sending AA to the outside. Kenny King then does a dive to the outside onto Austin Aries. Kenny King taunts and shoves, shows off his cockiness basically throughout this entire matchup. Austin Aries makes a comeback, hits a dropkick, two count. Ken King at one point a nice suplex on to suplex onto Austin Aries. Ken King at one point charged in the corner, missed double A. Austin Aries then hit a couple hard chops, comes running in, ate a big boot, and then hit a spot guy taken down with a spine buster, but Kenny King had his feet on the ropes and the ref didn't go past a one. Austin Aries had a discus forearm shot, led to a two count, had the last chance to be locked in, but Kenny King finally figured out a way to get out of it. He had a nice springboard blockbuster off from the ropes for a long two count. He set Austin Aries up from the top rope on his shoulders, but Austin Aries fights out and hits the brainbuster from the top rope. Austin Aries moves on to the steel cage match.
Go ahead.
I was right. Thank you. Thank you very much. She on Saturday is like, oh yeah, you're wrong on that one.
No, I said I'm probably wrong. Kane Kittens is my witness.
Yeah, but you were bragging that you probably got that one right. Don't lie.
Yes, I was, but I said I'm also probably wrong.
Okay, covering your tracks.
Yes, because I usually am wrong 90% of the time. But yeah, it's Kenny King and Austin Aries. It's going to be a good match.
It's a good match. Very good.
So yeah, not a lot to say other than a really good match. Definitely go back and watch it if you didn't see it.
Now it's time for the moment the fans in town really wanted to see. And it's the return of the Von Erichs. You had Ross and Marshall come out with Kevin Von Erich. And then they had opponents. Shall we say who the opponents were?
Why not?
DJZ and Jesse, a.k.a. Bromance. And when we talk about bromance, I think the tweets have stopped, so we should give in, right?
I suppose we can give in.
All right, King Kittens, and without further ado. Wait, oh, wrong horn. My bad.
Is it wrong? I was picturing the scene from The Christmas Story with the lamp. Is that completely disrespectful?
No. Not at all.
We gave you your horn.
We gave you a horn. You didn't be specific on what horn.
Yeah, it's... Again, you got a horn.
So, yeah, they cut a promo, but it basically led to a match. Marshall Von Erich wrestles barefoot like his father did, which was interesting. But in this day and age, should you be really wrestling barefoot? You could tell the guys were the Von Erichs were very green in this mm-hmm. one, a little bit sloppy. But it was a solid match. The Von Erichs came out on top after disqualification when DJZ came in and used the chair. And then got the crowd popped when Kevin Von Erich got in the ring and put the Iron Claw on DJZ. This match was a little sloppy, but you can tell they were okay.
They need a lot of work. You know, it's something of, this was probably their first really big match out. They're still young. They're still learning. But there's potential.
There's potential. I think they both need to put on a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
Gotta fill out a little bit. Just fill out a little bit. That's not like saying, oh, you need to gain 50 pounds. Just fill out a little bit. That's all.
And they will. As they get older, they'll fill out.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to go on an eating binge, but, you know, it's just something that comes with age and time that you fill out your body because you're still growing into it even after you stop physically growing. You grow into it in other ways.
Right.
Especially for guys where they gain their girth in their 20s.
Yes.
Or in Bray Wyatt's case, lost it.
We'll get to Bray here in a bit.
We'll get to Bray here in a bit, but yeah. Up next, after this, we got a promo from the beautiful people where, you know, they get the job done together, that two people's more fun than one, and, you know, that's pretty much it. And yeah, the shoulder tattoo. Just go.
Okay, so Lindsay's reading my notes. So in my notes, I wrote, "What the fuck did Velvet do? That shoulder tattoo. Yeah, that's just no. Why Velvet? Why? A tattoo? No. It just doesn't look right. No, it needs to go. Sadly, it won't go anywhere since it's a real tattoo." Anyway, I was distracted by that tattoo.
You know, honestly, it doesn't bother me in looking at it. I think it's better than Angelina's. The one that Angelina has her on her arm just bothers me. But that's completely personal and aesthetics in terms of tattoos. But yeah, I mean, I think Velvet's probably going to end up with full sleeves. I wouldn't be surprised. It's something of, yeah, it is what it is.
And it was very fresh. It was very shiny at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, she probably got it done in the last, probably right before the show, and she's putting lotion and everything on it. It's brand new, you can tell.
Her and her new boyfriend got tattoos.
Ew.
Did you hear who her new boyfriend is?
No.
Bully Ray.
When did he get divorced?
I don't know, but he mentioned it on a radio show that his personal life is going velvety smooth and he's dating Velvet Sky.
Because last I heard, he was married.
I thought he was married, too, but it's what you hear on the internet. So.
Okay, but this led to Angelina Love taking on Gail Kim for the Knockouts Championship.
Gail came out with some outsmarting Angelina early on with some unique early offense. It looked a little sloppy, but they managed to keep things together. Angelina took over with a hard iron to the corner on Gail, and she continues to work over Gail's back by driving her hard into the corner repeatedly. She had a tilt-the-world backbreaker for a two count. She got throws her to the outside. Velvet Sky tries to attack, but Gail can attack Velvet on the outside. Angelina Love came out and attacked her from behind and got sent hard into the steps by Gail Kim. Gail Kim got caught on the top rope. Angelina Love hit an inverted bulldog on Gail Kim. I wrote in my notes, very sloppy. Velvet Sky sprays Gail Kim with spray right in front of the ref. So I was like, wait, what? Angelina Love then hit the Botox injection for a two count. Earl Hebner drags Velvet Sky out and throws her out of the match. Hebner then tosses the other ref out as well. Gail Kim took control, hit a neckbreaker for a two count. She hit a crossbody for a two count. She goes for punches. Angelina Love turns it into a powerbomb two count as Angelina Love had her feet on the ropes. Love argues with the ref. Gail dropkicks Earl by mistake. Roll up. No count. Eat the feet. No ref. Other ref checks on Earl. Gail Kim rolls up Angelina Love. Angelina reverses, and the original ref, Stifler, comes back in, makes a three count. Angelina Love retains the TNA Knockouts Championship.
So, good match. Not as good as it probably could have been.
They were trying some things, so it came off a little sloppy early, but they sort of found their groove. And you could tell they have a referee in their back pocket, as Stifler kind of likes the beautiful people.
Oh no, not again.
Oh, yes. Yes, again.
Oh, dear.
We had Bully Ray and D.Va backstage. D.Va and Leeds go back to the hotel. Cameron gets a quick word from Bully Ray, and basically he was over my dead body. Which leads us to the Texas Death Match, EC3 versus Bully Ray. I really like this match. This was a lot of fun. Bully Ray came out with the bull rope. He tossed EC3 around the ring with the bull rope. Bully then pulled out a table, pulled up the mats, pulled up another table. So two tables are set up on the outside. He got back in the ring. EC tried again through back in the match, but he got nailed with punches in the elbow from Bully Ray. Bully Ray pulled out a third table. That one came into the ring. EC3 got hammered. Bully with multiple chair shots. And at one point, after taking a bunch of chops to the chest from Bully Ray, EC3 got taken to the woodshed with a cheese grater from Bully Ray right on the chest that he was punching. Ow.
Yeah, ow.
Ow. EC3 took back control at one point, hit Bully Ray repeatedly into the chair on the canvas. EC3 got caught on the top rope. Bully Ray hit a suplex onto the chair. Was like, ow. Bully Ray pulled out a trash can, then pulled out a knife and started pulling up the canvas as he's done in the past. Spud comes out with his cane and hit Bully Ray to no effect. Spud then got hit in the balls with the cane and lifted up multiple times. Ow, 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 each time. And then got caned in the head. EC3 then drove Bully headfirst into the board for a 9-count. Since it's Texas Death Match rules, they're basically last man standing. EC3 dumps shards of glass into the ring. He went to the top rope, got nailed with a Bubba Cutter into the glass. It's like, ow. EC3 laid out on the table. Bully goes to the top rope. Dixie Carter comes out. Bully Ray says he's going to kill you, bitch. EC3 then runs into Dixie, knocking her out. Bully then lays Dixie out on the tables. Then, after a while, Bully gets to the top rope. Spud eventually pulls Dixie off the table, and EC3 canes Bully Ray in the back, knocking him off the top rope through the tables on the outside. 10 count. You're a winner of the match. EC3.
One thing you can say, they went for it.
They did. They did, and the crowd wanted to see Dixie go through a table.
Oh, yes, they did. Yes, yes, yes. And I would be interested to see if it comes.
Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory, probably. Dixie Carter's going through a table, but yeah. This was a really good match. They went for it, mm-hmm. which you have to appreciate and you have to applaud. Because, you know, sometimes people can be a little timid in matches like these. They're not as good as you want. When you say a Texas death match and you call for something like that, especially in this kind of feud where it's a very personal feud, you expect violence, you expect a fight, you expect blood, you expect everything. And that's what you really want to see. You don't want a wrestling match. You want just people to kill each other. And they tried. Really hard.
Yeah, they did. So EC3 gets the win. Bully will be coming for revenge. Our next contest of the evening featured James Storm and Mr. Anderson. Storm comes out talking trash at the Cowboys. Took a shot at Romo, saying, "If you're anything like your quarterback, you're damn sure ain't gonna hit me." They brawl around the ring to start the match. Storm attacks the leg of Anderson, goes for figure four to James Storm. Mr. Anderson reverses, gets out of it, and James Storm gets caught in the corner as Mr. Anderson moves. Mr. Anderson brawls back into the match, hits a hard clothesline and neckbreaker on Storm. Mr. Anderson charged in. Storm caught him with a boot, and, well, Storm started doing a little bit of taunting, got hit with the plunge, a 2-count. Mr. Anderson's favoring his leg. Storm drives him into the middle turnbuckle. Storm sets him up on the top rope and taunts the Cowboys some more. There's a theme going on. James Storm goes for a super kick, gets knocked off, comes back, kicks him in the back of the head. James Storm gets caught on Mr. Anderson's shoulders on the top rope, takes the plunge for a 2-count. Storm kicks Mr. Anderson out of the ring, gets his old trusty beer, gives the Cowboys the middle finger, spits some beer in the face of the Cowboys, taunts them, shoves the ref. Bunch of Cowboys get up, since they're all pissed, distract Storm. Storm turns around, mic check, 3-count. The winner, Mr. Anderson.
Damn it, Stormy, you let me down again.
Storm was a cocky son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is.
It's like he went for it. I liked the moment. It was cool. Anderson celebrated with the Cowboys, even though he's a Packers fan. That probably ate him up a little bit. But, yeah, they took a bunch of shots at the Cowboys. Nothing wrong with doing that whatsoever, since, yeah, it's the Cowboys.
And you know what I found funny?
What?
Is the fact that Storm was, like, throwing beer at the Cowboys made it to TMZ.
Yeah, that's what they were going for.
So, well done there, but yeah. this was a good match. Again, I'm surprised this one didn't get a stip on it.
Well, by the angle they ran, I'm not surprised.
I was at least expecting something, but yeah, it was a good match.
Yeah, it was.
You can tell that they're both getting on, especially Storm. Because, well, they're both, one, they're wearing pants, because they don't wear the little trunks anymore, and two, yeah, they need to hit the gym on the abs, just pointing that out. So do I, but yeah,
Eric Young is having an interview with I'm not going to even touch it.
Jiggle, 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 jiggle.
EY's talking, Eric's in a row talking about how nothing else matters, because tonight we are fighting for the TNA title, and tonight the greatest man lives. EY talks about how tough Lashley is, talks about how it would be tough to be in a cage with Lashley if you were a sane person, but EY's not sane, he's a crazy person. And he's going to get crazy in a cage to keep his belt, which led to TNA World Heavyweight Title steel cage match, Eric Young, Austin Aries, and Bobby Lashley, and they made it clear that it will be winner by pinfall or submission. Lashley comes out and takes out both EY and Austin Aries early. EY and AA start to double team Bobby Lashley, and they throw him into a cage, and then Austin Aries rolled up EY, and then, well, they start to go at it with one another, so teamwork really doesn't last long. There's a nice powerbomb spot by Austin Aries on EY for a two count. Aries went for the Brainbuster on Lashley, but he got suplexed into the cage, led to a two count. EY hit a DDT on Lashley, two count. There was one point EY attempts to climb the cage, but Bobby Lashley stops him on the top rope, and then he lifts him up. EY is now on the top of the cage. Austin Aries climbs up the corner. You have Austin Aries and Lashley on the top rope. Aries hit the Hurricanrana from the top rope. EY is now on top of the cage and dives off the top rope. Big elbow drop, two count on Bobby Lashley. Austin Aries hit the Brainbuster, two count on EY. Lashley spears Austin Aries. EY breaks it up after the two count. EY gets drilled into the mat by Lashley. Lashley goes for a spear. EY moves, and Lashley dives through the cage door to the outside, so he's trapped out. EY then hits the elbow drop on Austin Aries, two count. Austin Aries rolls through and hits the drop kick on EY. They trade shots back and forth in the center of the ring. Austin Aries goes for a discus forearm after EY missed a cross body. Aries goes to corner for a drop kick. He goes for the Brainbuster. Fights out, does EY, hits the pile driver, three count. You're a winner and still TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Showtime. Eric Young.
This was a pretty good match.
It was. I liked this show overall. This was a good show overall.
It was a strong show overall. It didn't feel like an episode of Impact, which was nice.
Which
and
was great.
That's what we were kind of worried about.
Oh yeah, we were. And we were happily surprised we did not get that. So I would give this show a solid B.
I would give it a B minus, maybe a C plus. There were some things that I wasn't too crazy on. As I wasn't crazy on the opener. There were some really awkward spots for me, but the rest of the show was pretty good.
Right.
So, but it was a good offering. It was better than they've done in recent memory.
And to quickly recap the pick'em, we both got Sonata right. We both got Lashley and EC3 and Angelina Love and the Von Erichs right and Eric Young right. I got Austin Aries right. You went with Kent King, so I got that one right. And we both went with Willow. We got that one wrong. And you went with Storm, I went with Anderson. So I finished 8-1. You finished 6-3. See, we were actually divided for once. So that works.
Go with my heart. I'm not going to do any better at Money in the Bank. I can tell you that right now. Because I'm going with my heart on Money in the Bank.
Which we're going to get into here in a little bit. But let's get into Impact, shall we?
Let's get into Impact, where there were a lot of shenanigans, stuff happened, and MVP pretty much just lost his shit.
Tonight was about MVP going power hungry. He was obsessed with, he was pissed off with what happened at Slammiversary and how that Eric Young is still the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. So MVP comes out early in the show, talks about his injury, how he can't wrestle, and how talks about Dixie going to the board, like we talked about the pay-per-view, talks about he got an official reprimand from the board, but he won't let the board stop him. He calls out EY. EY comes out, says he's been on a roll right now and lately. EY says he's ready to fight, and he's a fighting champion. They've been holding a poll on Twitter who you want to see him fight, and they set up Kenny King versus Eric Young for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Solid matchup between the two, as it should be, but Eric Young retains the TNA World Heavyweight title. MVP is mailed. Is mailed, mm-hmm. I should say. MVP, when we come back, is very livid. He starts stopping around the timekeeper. Then he starts to abuse his power. You got Babyface come out. They brawl with the heel group. MVP, everyone got pulled away. MVP says no more about people getting involved in their matches. MVP is abusing his power, he says. And, well, we will see tonight for the TNA World Heavyweight title, second title match, Lashley versus Eric Young. Says no one will be in the building. No one. All the wrestlers will be gone. Extra cameraman, gone. It would only be Lashley, Eric Young, MVP, and Kenny King, and the referee. That's it. And, well, the fans. He also books, right. The Wolves into a tag match. But before we get to that, he called out Earl Hebner and basically fired him. Boo.
Not Earl!
Earl said he loves this business. He's been in for 37 years, and he loves the people. He was then escorted out. We have Dixie Carter and EC3 talking about what happened on Sunday, and, well, they're inviting Tommy Dreamer to Impact. It should be interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. EY says he will defend the belt all night long. He's very mad about the firing of Earl Hebner, saying they're taking it too far, and then he needs some backup, and he calls him for some backup, and the backup being the one and only Kurt Angle. We mentioned the tag title match. Wolves took on Joe and Aries and Abyss and Willow. Yeah, good match. Really strong match between the three teams. Nice high spots by all parties. The Wolves were able to retain the gold. Again, this is all about MVP. This night's all about MVP abusing his power. Angle showed up. They talk about Angle showing up. King said he will handle Angle and says no one can stand in their way tonight. And then the security threw out Joe and Aries.
Yep.
He then had the Wolves brought to him, and they have a gift. MVP has a gift for them, that they will defend their tag titles once again tonight, just like Eric Young will. Then we got.
He's determined to screw them over.
He is determined to screw people over. But then we had the, I would say, segment of the night. Dixie versus Dreamer.
Oh my God, they were booing that woman out of the building.
Yeah, they were. Fans were. We had Dixie and Spud come out. He was dressed in his poker suit. Fans were booing Dixie out of the building. You could barely hear what she was saying. She bragged about EC3 beating Bully. Dixie says Bully isn't here tonight since he's at home playing on with his Twitter machine and says she will never go through a table. Everyone wants to latch on to Dixie's star. Aren't you? Take that for what it is. Doesn't care about what other people are saying about how she runs the company. Says she's in charge. Says MVP is now digging his own grave, so she doesn't have to dig it for him. Talks about this one guy, just some guy trying to gain publicity off of her. You know, says this guy should just come out instead of hiding behind his keyboard. Then asks about what's his name. She says Tommy. He says Tommy Dreamer. And Bud says, he worked for you 2 years ago. She's like, he did? Oh, okay. Then she's like, did he ever win for me? Bud didn't think so. And then he comes out and then, well, he looks familiar. Which, that was a funny part of this bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Tommy Dreamer comes out, and Dixie Carter sort of remembers who he is, saying it's much better to be face-to-face, right? And crowds chanting for Tommy Dreamer, which had to be awesome for him. Dixie says she now remembers his name, talks about Dreamer bad-mouthing her at the show, the little indie show. Dixie wants Dreamer to apologize. Dreamer thanks her for having him here. fans chanted ECW, and then Dixie dropped the line of the night, I thought. Dixie says, you people didn't go to school, and you don't have the right letters. I thought that was great. That was a great line by Dixie. Dreamer says, we had a business disagreement and blew up on social media, and talks about how social media has changed the business. Talks about the first time they actually met on Twitter. Yay, they met on Twitter. Talked about going to Dixie Carter's house and talked about agreeing to book Hardcore Justice to give people closure. Says she drank beers with them, says she did it for the wrestling fan. Dreamer wonders what actually happened to the old Dixie Carter, the sweet Dixie Carter. Spud says she's the same woman. Dreamer says he was embarrassed by what he sees on television. He's very embarrassed to be a wrestling fan by watching TNA, basically. I think a lot of us are at times. Says the wrestling industry is waiting for TNA to explode. Says it's not the Dixie Show. You know, if you want to be have a reality show, go to Hollywood. Says this is Impact, TNA Impact Wrestling. They should give like the people the best show every single week, and that's her job. Dreamer promotes, his indie company, House of Hardcore. Says he listened to the people, what they have to say about how wrestling inspires people. Talk about, people with cancer that get inspired by wrestling. Says that there's still good inside Dixie. Says that he watched the pay-per-view and saw her with her family and how she exploded as a fan when the Van Erichs won. He goes, Dixie, damn it, for once in your life, remember what we want to watch. Please, do the right thing. And then Dixie's all like, aww. So she hugs Tommy Dreamer in the middle of the ring. And then kneed him in the balls.
Yep.
Spud left. EC3 came out to beat up Dreamer and basically told him to kick him out of the ring. And that's how that ended. That was a great segment.
It really was. And a lot of people were praising Dreamer's promo. It was very passionate. Mm-hmm. It was very enjoyable to watch. And it's... Dixie played her part perfectly. Dreamer played his part perfectly. This is not over by a long shot. But yeah, this was probably segment of the night. This was really well done. And again, Dixie is just... God, they hate that woman.
Yeah, they do. Kurt Angle's arrived and talked about how Bobby Lashley's pipe is bigger than Kenny King's. Oh, Kurt. We tag title match Wolves versus Magnus Bram ended in disqualification when Magnus and Bram used chairs on the Wolves. Abyss and Willow made the save. Then we have another emotional moment. MVP is talking to Earl Hebner's son Brian. Says he's been crying. Talks about how Earl Hebner is spending his social security checks at the strip club. We cannot confirm or deny the fact that he may have been spending money at the strip club. He names Brian Hebner the referee for the main event. Says he will keep the checks going if he counts three on EY in the main event. Sneaky, sneaky.
Very sneaky, sneaky.
Magnus and Bram did an interview. They got attacked by Willow and Abyss.
The story goes on.
It does. Gail Kim is in the ring. She welcome back Taryn Terrell. Big welcome back chant for her. Gail talked about not liking her when she first came into the company. Talks about how she opened her eyes last year at Slammiversary. Talks about how she proved that she actually belonged in TNA. Says she earned her respect after beating her last year. The girls went, aw, hugs. Taryn then thanked Gail Kim and the fans. Talks about taking a year off to have her child, her baby girl. Another aw moment. And then talked about all those matches that were the best of her career. No kidding. Talks about how they are tied 1-1. Says the fans probably want to see a tiebreaker, right? To find out who the best knockout is. Speaking of the best knockout, out came the beautiful people. Angelina Love came out and asked Gail who died made her the boss. Talks about how she lost to her at Slammiversary. Says she's, you're not the knockout champion nor the leader of the division. Her opinion basically doesn't matter. And then used the hashtag, yes, she said, hashtag go away Gail, and then hashtag holler. Love said, they have nice dresses on, are you going to the junior prom or something? And then Angelina Love attacked Taryn Terrell, double team on Gail Kim, Taryn makes the save on Gail, laying up both, they tossed them both out of the ring. Looks like we have a new feud brewing.
We do. But it was great to see Taryn back. She looks absolutely wonderful. It's curious to see, you know, how she can knock off the rust after being out of the ring for a year.
Because she was, she really was having her best matches a year ago.
She was. She was just coming into her own a year ago, and then she took the time off. So be curious to see if she can regain her momentum.
Yes. MVP talked to Kurt Angle backstage. Basically, Angle got in, knocked out Kenny King, and then, well, Angle sort of got thrown out, I guess. I don't know. We didn't see anything from Kurt after that. Main event time. Before that, JB and the roving cameraman got kicked out as well. TNA title, Eric Young, Lashley. Good match.
Good match. Clearly, the odds were stacked against EY. Clearly, he was not getting out of this unscathed.
No, sadly, no. Lashley was able to hit... EY hit the pile driver at 2 count as the referee got pulled out. Ray King goes for... King got hit by EY, taken out Lashley. Or by Lashley, I should say, by mistake. DET by EY. He goes to the top rope for the elbow drop. Miss. Lashley hits the spear. Your brand new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Bobby Lashley.
So MVP gets his way. EY is no longer TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
No.
Go
ahead.
But here's the kicker. MVP got reprimanded by the Board of Directors for his actions. Question is, will the Board of Directors step in again?
Quite possibly. And you know who's stepping up to the plate?
Who?
Well, as they were beating down on EY trying to break his arm, someone made the save. The one. The only. Bobby Roode.
Yes, he's back, y'all. Him and his pants.
Bobby Roode and his pants made the save, cleared house, saved EY as Impact went off the air.
Yes. This was an okay show. My issue comes from something that seems to be a trend. They've been doing it a lot lately, and I understand it's part of cost-cutting measures. And it's the fact that you're having multiple people do multiple matches in one night. Like, you had EY wrestle twice, you had the Wolves wrestle twice, you had Willow and Abyss involved in several segments, which is fine if they're involved in segments, but I guess I draw the line at you're doing multiple matches with the same talent, which shows that you didn't bring in a lot of talent for this show.
Or at least this particular episode.
And it's just, it's like, I would have liked to have seen a little more, and just to have more diversity back on the show like they used to have. But overall, it was a good show. I told Rock, I was a little surprised they didn't do the title change on Slammiversary, but more people saw this, so it makes sense. And, well, I guess EY's looking for revenge now.
Yep. So we'll see what happens next.
And, well, what's Bobby Roode gonna do? But on that note, I say we take our second break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be going over NXT really quickly. We've got to get through 2 of the week. And, of course, you know, talk about Bray Wyatt because it's this show. So, anyway, you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back.
You look fine. You look good. You look fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. don't worry. We've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure review needs, including awesome stop-motion animation, because, yeah, awesome. Totally check it out.
Totally check it out. I forgot how long of a build-up that song had. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was like, what song is it? It's like, oh, it's that song.
That's that song. We have a theme going on. Hopefully you can figure it out. People.
Yeah, it's not Torture Cane Kitten's Night beyond, you know, the horn.
Beyond the... Well, if you figure out the theme, there's... Yeah, anyway, we'll get to that here in a bit.
Yeah, and now we're going to talk all about tonight's exciting NXT, which opened up with Natty trying to, you know, make up what happened last week. As you recall, she stopped Tyson from using a chair... And, well, it cost him the championship, and so she feels bad. She wants to make it up to him. And so, you know, Natty has a great idea. She goes to JBL about it, and she says, what if Tyson teams up with Sami Zayn and they take on the Ascension for the tag team titles?
JBL said okay.
Sounds good.
There you go.
So, well, Tyson and Sami have a match with the Ascension. I have a funny feeling Tyson's not going to appreciate that. Because,
well,
honestly, who wants to face the Ascension? Seriously.
Not many people at this point.
Yeah, no. So, your opening contest of the evening was the little fairy herself, Alexa Bliss, taking on the boss, Sasha Banks, who had your women's champion, I had to remember what it was called, Charlotte and Summer Rae in tow.
Sasha told Alexa early in the match, Sasha was a step ahead of Alexa early on. She taunted a little bit, Alexa takes the fight back to Sasha, including a nice dropkick and a monkey flip out of the corner. Sasha took back control, hit a backbreaker for a two count. She had a surfboard, which was nice, on Alexa. Alexa had a hard time fighting out of it, but was able to eventually do so. At ringside, though, this is where things got interesting. Summer and Charlotte were pushing each other around, a little bit of talking back and forth. Summer starts screaming at Charlotte, and at one point, Charlotte shoves Summer. This distraction led Alexa Bliss to roll up Sasha Banks for the three count. So your winner was Alexa Bliss. The distraction, the shoving, I should say, continued on the outside, but between both girls. Sasha got in the middle of it. She got shoved around. Then she was yelling at Charlotte. It was all kinds of cluster, and somewhere at the end seemed a little bit happy that she's causing dissension between the BFFs.
Alexa, you being you being naughty. No. You're supposed to be all sweet and stuff, but yeah. This was an okay match. It wasn't the best I've ever seen. Alexa and Sasha didn't mix very well.
No, because they're both very young, and they're learning, so neither one can lead at this point.
Yeah, and that was very evident. There was a point where they went for a spear or something along those lines, and it ended up getting botched. There was also a point where Alexa tried to roll up on Sasha, and she didn't quite do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, I mean, for what it was a good match. I liked the stuff on the outside afterwards where you had Charlotte and Summer and Sasha all getting into it with each other, which will eventually probably lead to all three of them fighting each other, which I'm okay with.
I'm okay with that. Good storyline development.
Very good storyline development. But speaking of storyline development, backstage we see Tyson asking Natty why she cost him the championship, and Natty told him that, you know, he would have been disqualified for using the chair, to which, you know, he basically was like, well, screw you, I kind of know the rules.
I could have won, but you're not going to win I'm not going to let you win by cheating.
Yeah, she's not going to let him win by cheating, but, you know, Tyson was angry that Natty went and got him a tag team title shot. Basically, he feels that he could have got it on his own, and he doesn't need her help.
But
he doesn't want her help.
But she loves him.
But she loves him, and every time he tried to say something, Natty kept cutting him off. Yeah, it's clear that there are two dominant personalities in this relationship, and, well, who's going to win?
She cares about him, and, well, he then goes and talks some strategy with Sammy.
Yeah, because he's basically like, I'm just going this way now. So, and then, well, we got the backstage segment of the night. Because you see Aiden English and Simon Gotch, they're cutting a promo, but it's a black and white, something out of the 20s. It had jump cuts. The audio and the video were off sync. It was basically like a silent movie.
Yeah.
And we see the beginnings of the vaudevillains, which is just epic.
We'll get more into them here in a minute.
Because your next match after that was Mojo Rawley taking on Garrett Dillon.
I was surprised Garrett Dillon got as much offense as he did on this one. He was working up. Mojo came out, was strong, but Garrett came out and basically took it to Mojo for a while. Had a domino stretch, worked over the ribs. Mojo fought out, got the crowd behind him, made his comeback, rights and left, flying shoulder block, big splashes in the corner, the typical Mojo Rawley comeback, flying butt bump, and the hyperdrive for the win. Mojo Rawley.
So, you know, he got hyped, he stayed hyped, he won. Backstage, Tyson Kidd and Sami Zayn were talking strategy. Basically, they both admitted that they lost their matches at TakeOver, but tonight is a restart, and they want to win gold. So, you know what? They're going to win tonight.
Yeah.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the number one contender for the NXT title, Prince Pretty himself, Tyler Breeze, has entered the building.
Yeah, he has.
Up next, we see the vaudevillains in their debut taking on Angelo Dawkins and Travis Tyler. Oh my god, the entrance.
Talk about it.
Oh my god. Okay, so again, the black and white is back. They have a stage set up on the screen behind them, and English walks out with a megaphone, old school megaphone, and
basically the one of the things the directors use in movies.
Yeah. And Gotch holds a microphone up so you can hear him, and basically they do the old school kind of sideshow talking up who's coming out, what they're doing, they talk each other up, and then they make their entrance to old school, like 1920s piano type music.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome and hilarious, and I want more of it.
Yeah, this was, this has potential.
This really does have potential. It really does. It's a nice use of English, where it kind of gets him out of that Broadway gimmick. And Regal was a little jealous, because he's like, I should have coined that phrase, you know, vaudevillains. But yeah, William Regal is also in love with these two.
Oh yeah, yeah he is. So, in my notes, because I couldn't figure out names, they worked over the guy in blue for a long time, basically the entire match. Complete domination. English had a nice senton off the middle rope for the victory. And the guy in blue was Travis Tyler.
Because
after the match, I finally figured out his name.
Yeah, so very solid showing by the vaudevillains. Curious to see more. Kind of can't wait to see more.
Yeah, going with guy in blue is the cost of taking notes for two shows at once.
Yeah. Devin Taylor then interviewed Big Cass backstage. Colin mentioned that he was on a losing streak until next week when, you know, something's going to happen because he feels something's missing. And then he proceeds to sing, "When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore."
Well, he didn't say amore, but, you know.
But it was implied. Which means Enzino Amore, and I hope I said his name right, is coming back, y'all. So we're going to get to see those two in that gimmick, which should be pretty exciting.
I have not seen them together, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very curious about it, so yeah. After the commercial, we see Devin Taylor interviewing Rob Van Dam. You know, basically, he's there. He wants to check out the future. He wants to, you know, wrestle Adrian Neville. And so Van Dam challenges Neville to a match, which we found out
will be next week.
Yeah, which is next week. That will be a good match.
Yeah.
Then we see the number one contender for the NXT title, Prince Pretty, sings his own theme song and everything from his seasonal residence in Santorini, Greece. Tyler Breeze taking on Kalisto.
Regal once again put over that his ringtone is gorgeous song. Basically, this Tyler Breeze kept Kalisto grounded a lot. There was one point he had a headlock on him and he was holding his shoulders down. I like that. And then did a cover that way, also like that. He basically tried to keep him down. Kalisto got in some big moves and springs off the ropes with a nice corkscrew. And then a nice head scissors sent him downside. We came back from break. Tyler Breeze was very aggressive. Again, keeping him on the ground. And he just couldn't get him to stay down for a three count. Tyler Breeze kept getting frustrated. Kalisto made a little bit of a comeback, kicked him in the face a little bit, hit a crossbody, both men down. He then rolled through a little bit, rolled him up for a two count. Kalisto was starting to use his speed a little bit, caught himself, held onto the ropes. But Breeze also put on the brakes and hit the beauty shot for the victory. Tyler Breeze beats Kalisto in a good match. I'm getting these good feelings about Tyler Breeze says he's improving in the ring every single time.
Yeah, I like that Breeze, the gimmick is more serious now. Like, it's better now that it's more serious, that you see that he's got a focus. He wants that title. He wants to be the next champion. And it's bringing out a side of him that we didn't get to really see previously. And it's really good. The matches that he's been putting on lately have been just phenomenally good. He's been very enjoyable to watch. He's not as silly as he once was, and you really can take him seriously now, which is what they want.
Right. The evolution continues of Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, so, and I'm very curious to see, you know, eventually when he does come up, how they do the gimmick. But yeah, for right now, the gimmick, it's all working.
Though I have some sad news for William Regal.
What?
Tyler Breeze has left the building.
Oh.
Regal sad.
Everybody sad. But you can't be sad for too long because your main event is up next. You have the NXT Tag Team Champions, The Ascension, taking on Tyson Kidd and Sami Zayn.
Zayn was in the start. He was trying to fight off the Ascension throughout the match. Goes to make the hot tag. But Kidd is nowhere to be found. He's on the floor. Zayn's like, what? Oh no. Then gets taken out with Fall of Man. Ascension win. Good match on Zayn's part. Kidd was like, eh. He just stood there, watched it all go down. He's like, I outsmarted you, son.
Yeah. I have an issue with the way that they shoot the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how they shoot the Fall of Man, because every time they shoot the Fall of Man, you see Connor miss hitting someone.
Yeah.
Because basically the whole point is Connor's supposed to roll under and knock the guy's legs out from underneath of him, and then Victor hits the shot on the chest, and that's what takes him down. But every time they shoot it, and there's just really no way, good way for them to shoot this, you see Connor miss. Every time. You see how they actually do the move every time. And so it's something of you either need to do it a little bit closer, or you need to figure out a better way to get a camera angle on that. Something. But yeah, it's like the Fall of Man, it's like it would be a lot more impressive if you didn't see him miss every single time.
Yeah.
I would almost rather see Victor go on the bottom and see Connor go up top.
Yeah.
That would make it a little bit more impressive, because then you see Connor just giving this huge hit. But yeah, it's like, okay. But yeah, this was a good match, and well, Tyson's not playing fair. He's
nope.
Kind of being a dick.
Yeah, I am, so.
Imagine that, a Canadian being a dick. Who knew?
Who knew? they're so polite people. They can't be dicks.
No, not at all. But yeah, this was a good show.
It wasn't as good as last week, but that was because that was unbelievable.
Oh, God. By the way, about last week's show, if you enjoyed the Bo Dallas segment and you want to see more of it, there is actually extra footage. I believe it's still up on the WWE YouTube page right now.
Yes.
Of security chasing and detaining Bo Dallas throughout the night. And it's just hilarious. I've watched it like 4 times and died laughing each time.
True story.
So yeah, but this was a good show. They're obviously building things. They're turning Tyson heel. And yeah, we can get into that later, but good show.
Good show.
Very good show. So on that note, we're going to take our final break of the evening really quickly. Basically like 30 seconds, so we'll be right back. But yeah, when we come back, tweet of the week, discussion, and whatever else we can figure out. So you're listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will literally be right back.
Do you remember back in old LA? Oh, when everybody drove a Chevrolet? Oh, whatever happened to the boy next door? The suntan crew cut off.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Someone loves
Speaking of being a dick, welcome back to the Rack here on WildTalkRadio.com. And, tweet of the week.
No, hold on.
No?
Just let it play a little second. Just got to sink in a little bit.
Really are just being a teacher.
Well, it's the summer. Salute the summer show if you haven't figured out by the music, you know.
Yeah. Good tweet of the week. Just go.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Don't make me get background music.
Don't make him do it.
You're first.
And the Twitter that just gives me life lately, DiGiorno Pizza. It's all DiGiorno because, whoever runs this Twitter and the fact that they live tweet during Raw is like the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. So DiGiorno Pizza, CM Punk is like delivery pizza, probably not showing up tonight. Hashtag Raw.
Best tweet ever.
I bet Seth Rollins always licks the last slice of pizza so no one else can have it. Hashtag DiGiorno, no you didn't. Why doesn't Jim Ross order delivery pizza? Because by the time it gets there, it's stone cold! Stone cold!
Okay, that was good.
Bray Wyatt's got the whole pizza in his hands. Ow, hot. Why didn't he wear an oven mitt?
The cheese burns.
Burn. My favorite wrestler has always been The Undertaker because he's self-rising.
Speaking of burn, it's available now at behance.net/Lynn's Ward. And
yes,
at her Redbubble store, just go to psychwordsdesign.com and click on the contact section. You can get it for yourself.
Shameless.
I know, right?
They should replace the Money in the Bank suitcase with pizza. And the ladder with pizza. Pizza ring, pizza ropes. Pizza is someone writing this down.
Someone say pizza?
Yeah, someone say pizza.
How many Z's are in pizza? 3, 4?
2.
2, okay. Well, at least I'd write it down. I just wanted to make sure. Continue.
This battle royal is like eating a supreme pizza with a friend that keeps picking off all the toppings and throwing them out. How to defeat Kane. Wait until he lifts his hand in the air to signal a choke slam, then toss a pizza into it. You win. And finally, Pizza Cutter would be a pretty sweet name for a finishing move. I swear to God, this Twitter gives me life. It so gives me life.
It really does. All right, so is that it?
That's it.
All right, the fake ESPN. Justin Bieber be like, got a new team logo to stand on this year, because, you know, the Kings won. Tom Brady's ego. Happy Father's Day to my dad for creating a legend. So there's a big controversy over at the Sixers training camp, training facility, the PCOM. Basically, people were being threatened to be, you know, they were kicked off the property, were reporters. So someone tweets one of the reporters, who knows, hopefully they don't arrest me when I go to get my car, go to my car that I paid to park in their garage. And the reporter goes, dude, you absolutely need to get arrested for journalism. Gregory Shane Helms. What if it was revealed that Kevin Hart was Torito all along? Giving Gregory Shane Helms credit for that joke, unlike some other Canadians who couldn't be bothered to tweet it, and then would have been mentioned on this segment. Just saying. WWE creative-ish. Could be worse for Cody Rhodes. He could be out there in polka dots. Hashtag Raw. Following our hashtag Ruin a Kid's Movie. Flushing Nemo. Sex Toy Story. How to Train Your Drag Queen. Honey, I got drunk and lost the kids. Where the wild thongs are. E.T. the extra touchy. Winnie the Pooh. Home Alone with Jerry Sandusky.
Oh.
Dolph Ziggler chimed in. Finding Emo. Rockstar Spud tweets, so Matt Hardy returns at TNA NYC. I have a word. I need to have a word with him about his brother, Jeff Hardy. And that time, he kidnapped me. Matt Hardy replied, Jeff didn't kidnap you. That enigma known as Willow did. Spud responded, oh, for God's sakes. One more for a Rowan and Kids movie. This comes from Craig Ferguson. Shitty Titty Gangbang. And from Mark PR goes, Pimpy Longstocking. Betty freaking White. The Washington Redskins have lost a trademark on their name. Someone should tell them that casual racist is still available. Rockstar Spud. Remember when you pulled Spain out in your sweepstakes and jumped in the air and threw it in people's faces? Well, it sucks to be you. Hashtag World Cup 2014. So I guess Spain lost.
Yes.
Dolph Ziggler. My dad's favorite show is anything with the volume low. And the preview guide scrolling over the top of it. For hashtag bad Beatles songs. Betty freaking White. Hey, Jews. Zack Ryder tweets, I never leave feedback on eBay. Ziggler replied, that's why you're the internet's wild card. And finally, Rockstar Spud tweeted, if Tommy Dreamer attempts to lay one finger on TNA Dixie, I will beat him senseless with a cane. Tommy Dreamer replied, I promise I won't finger her.
Dreamer. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Tweet of the Week.
I'm just going to stand back and let her go on this next topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because I'm moving next week, and next week would technically be our preview show for Money in the Bank, and we're really not going to be able to elaborate this on this as much as we would like because, well, everything's going to be up in the air. We wanted to go ahead and kind of talk about this week, and basically what we kind of want to discuss is the Money in the Bank match for the title and Bray Wyatt's place in this match. Because when you look at the match, and we kind of had this discussion before, and this was before Cena and Reigns went in, and we knew Cena was going in. We just didn't know really who the last person was, but we were kind of figuring Roman. And, you know, if you go through and you kind of look at this match, it's an interesting group of people, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it really sort of is an interesting group of people. You have, like, there's one man who really shouldn't be in this match, and that's Alberto Del Rio. But then you have the guys who believe they should be in this match. You know, the guys who deserve, who are the mainstays in the title picture, Randy Orton and John Cena. You have a Sheamus who has a belt, so he's probably not going to win. And then you have a couple of wild cards, and in Roman Reigns, Cesaro, and Bray Wyatt. And we pose the question, is it time for WWE to make a change? Is it time to give us something we don't expect? Something that isn't predictable? Something that is Bray Wyatt?
I would say yes. I think it's time for them to make a change. And it's, you don't put the belt on Cena or Orton. You don't do the predictable thing. Or you don't put it on Del Rio or Sheamus. I think it's time that you do something different with somebody else. And if you look at the wild cards in this match, who are Roman Reigns, Antonio Cesaro, and Bray Wyatt, you know, there's really kind of the one standout, at least in my head, and I'm not the only person that said this, just pointing this out, and the standout really is Bray Wyatt, because if you look at Roman and Cesaro, it's like Roman technically has the resume, but he did it in the Shield. They literally just split him out of the Shield 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
He needs to go on a little bit more of a singles run, at least to me, and establish himself on the singles level a little bit more before they put a title on him. just because it's like we know who Roman Reigns is in terms of him being a part of the Shield, but we don't know who he is as an individual.
He does not have that one big singles victory.
Yeah, and he really kind of needs it on his own, where he doesn't have Rollins and Ambrose involved in any capacity. Where he is, it is just Roman Reigns, and he does it on his own. And they've been building him up. And I'm not saying that Reigns doesn't deserve a title. I think he absolutely does. But right now is not the time. And given the fact that Reigns is embroiled in a feud with the Authority, I don't see him winning the title. If anything, I see him in this match to be screwed out of the title by Triple H or Stephanie or both.
Right.
With them getting revenge for what he did Monday night. And that will lead to Triple H versus Roman at either Battleground or SummerSlam, probably SummerSlam. So, yeah, I don't see them putting the title on Roman, because right now it wouldn't do him any good. Would it be cool to see? Yeah. Would it add to his resume? Yeah. But, you know, in the long run, in terms of the feuds that he's probably lined up for, it's not going to help. If anything, him having the title is really kind of a hindrance.
Yeah, especially probably because the long-term plan is probably not to have the title on him yet.
Yet. Then you look at somebody like Antonio Cesaro. Does Cesaro deserve the title? Yes. Cesaro does deserve the title. But again, for Cesaro, I think it's a little bit of a hindrance, because unlike Reigns and unlike Wyatt, Cesaro does not have the resume. I'm sorry. He doesn't.
He again, like Roman Reigns, does not have that big singles win. Yes, he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but then he got feuded with Swagger and then lost to Sheamus at the pay-per-view. So the big coming off pay-per-view wins aren't really that impressive, especially when he lost to Sheamus only 3 weeks ago.
Right. And it's just something of, they're still establishing Cesaro, they're still building Cesaro. Will Cesaro be champion within the next year? Probably. I don't think this is his time. I don't think he's ready for it yet. Plus, the big question with Cesaro is, who does Cesaro feud with coming out of Money in the Bank if you put the title on him?
You can go with Daniel Bryan, but the plan is not to go with Daniel Bryan.
Right. So, yeah, it just, at least to me, Cesaro doesn't feel like he's ready quite yet, because again, he doesn't have the resume. He's still trying to get over. He's on his way there, but it's going to be that trick with whenever they put Paul Heyman with somebody other than Brock Lesnar, it's always the trick to see who gets over more, the person that Paul Heyman is with or Paul Heyman himself.
Right.
Because we've seen this time and time again with Paul Heyman guys in quotations, where when Paul Heyman leaves them, like he did with Ryback, with Curtis Axel, those guys are hurt. Cesaro isn't on the level of, say, Punk or Brock, where if he were to feud with Heyman or if Heyman were to leave, that he would be okay. It would actually hurt him in the long run. So it's something of, they're still trying to, I think, establish him and get him over to the point that when Heyman withdraws his services, when Brock comes back, like we know he will, then Cesaro will be okay.
Right, and using Cesaro as a Paul Heyman guy right now, they have to let him become a dominant player and beat people repeatedly. Go through a bunch of people, and then you can pull a split, and then you'll have here's Cesaro is very strong, but here's Brock Lesnar, and then you can do that like at a WrestleMania, Cesaro and Brock Lesnar. That would be good, because by then, Cesaro will be fully established.
Right.
We mentioned this before. Guys are a few months away from being where they need to be. And that's the problem with Daniel Bryan losing the title, because the plan was for Bryan to continue to be champion. But now you're in a position where he's not going to be champion anytime soon. He won't be ready until the very earliest August.
Yeah.
So you can go predictable. But we've seen predictable. We see how people react to predictable. And then you have the most unpredictable man on WWE TV sitting there in this match going, I want your power. I want your title.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Bray Wyatt going into this match is now, for the first time in a year, because Bray Wyatt will have now been on the roster a year, he's fully established. He's coming off a feud with Cena that I think isn't entirely done. He did lose to Cena at Payback. Payback,
you're right.
He beat Cena at Extreme Rules, and then he lost at WrestleMania Cena. But the interesting thing about Bray Wyatt is he's only ever lost once. It was to John Cena, and it was at WrestleMania.
The only time he's been pinned.
The only time he's been pinned is at WrestleMania to John Cena. The rest of the time he's won or he's gotten out of it in other capacity, which is kind of interesting. Bray Wyatt is also one of the very few people to beat Daniel Bryan.
This year.
Clean. This year, clean.
Technically, this year, I think he's the only guy to beat Daniel Bryan.
I think he is. Cleanly.
Yeah, since he lost to Bray Wyatt, he hasn't lost.
Mm-mm. Bray Wyatt was the last loss Daniel Bryan suffered.
Yeah, so the last guy to beat the last WWE World Heavyweight Champion
was Bray Wyatt.
That should make him right there a contender for the belt. And it's something where, would it be long-term with Bray? Probably not. But you can get a couple months out of him, give him the taste, and then you make him once he loses the belt, then he's hungry to get it back.
Well, the thing is Bray Wyatt is acknowledging what the belt actually is. It's power. It gives you a standing and a position in the company that you don't have any other time. And Bray Wyatt worships power. That is his ultimate goal, is to get power. He's never made that secret. And if you look at kind of who he's gone after, especially in Daniel Bryan, in The Shield, in John Cena, he's really kind of gone after the people that could stop him. And that's the interesting thing, and he keeps referring to the belt as power. It's like he doesn't care, you know, about the history. He doesn't care about the prestige of being the WWE champion. None of that matters to him. He wants the title specifically for the power that the title brings, because the power will then allow him to further his agenda as he sees fit, which is a different story to tell.
Yes.
And, you know, Rock's right. Would it be a long run? No. Should it be a long run? No. But I think also you have, in terms of when you put the title on Bray Wyatt, you have more options with him as champion. You can tell different stories with him as champion. It's, you give him that big win, he wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the ladder match. That's a big win for him, which he needs. He needs that big win at this point. He's poised to have that breakout moment again, where he had the breakout match with Daniel Bryan, they moved him on to feud with Shield, he and the Wyatt family had a really great match with the Shield, and then he moved on to Cena. And the feud with Cena, I'm going to be honest, kind of fell a little flat. They did some really wonderful things in it with Bray. We saw a lot of really good developments with Bray. But the feud kind of sort of just fell flat a little bit, just because of the way it was booked, especially in the end where you had Cena sort of cheat to beat Bray at Payback a little bit. And so it's Bray kind of needs that win, that victory over, you know, all these guys would definitely help, and to give him that title would really solidify him, I think, in the main event scene as a main event player.
It would.
And also, if you think about it, Bray Wyatt could be the Authority's worst nightmare.
Or it could be the Authority's biggest power play.
Either or. I mean, it's something of, if you want to turn, kind of have the Authority get turned on its head, and you have Bray Wyatt give the Authority a hard time, you do that. Or, you know, Bray Wyatt has kind of been sort of working with the Authority a little bit, kind of doing their bidding with the Shield, with, you know, handling Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Same thing with John Cena. So it's, they're, you know, Bray could sort of play ball a little bit with the Authority, get in with the Authority, get to know them, and then potentially take them down. And then, of course, there's the other topic of, well, what if Bray has a man on the inside?
You mean the big red machine, Kane?
He could.
He could. It's possible.
It's a long shot, but he could. You know, it's something if you don't know. That's the other great thing about the Wyatt family and the stories that you can tell with the Wyatt family is you don't know who's on Bray Wyatt's side.
Correct.
You don't know. It's like we know that Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are there with Bray Wyatt, and they are official members of the family. But we don't know how many other members of the family Bray Wyatt has gotten inside the company since his arrival, or even before his arrival. That's the thing about him. You don't know.
You really don't know.
So it's like somebody could pop up and help Bray Wyatt out of the blue, and it's not Harper and Rowan. I think it's there are a lot more stories that you can tell with Bray Wyatt. There are a lot of feuds that you can do with Bray Wyatt because just spinning out of this match, you could do Bray and Roman, you could finish off Bray and Cena. Bray and Bryan is unresolved. I mean, what happens to the Authority if they realize they need to get the title off of Bray Wyatt and they literally just start throwing people at Bray Wyatt? And the only one that can stop Bray Wyatt is Daniel Bryan.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
That would be an interesting story to tell, where suddenly the Authority has to eat a little bit of crow and, you know, say, Daniel, need you to take care of Bray.
That would be interesting.
But I just, when I look at this match and I see who's in it, and I think of what they could do with everybody, honestly, I see Bray being the best choice because he has the most potential to do something with.
Oh, he does. He has a lot of potential, and it would make for interesting television. Orton and Cena won't. Cesaro right now won't. Unless you have Heyman Bragg, and that can get old really quickly. The guy who can carry it on his own is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the thing is Bray Wyatt can get it done on his own. We know he can. He doesn't need Harper and Rowan there, and also you have Harper and Rowan going for the tag team titles. And I would actually really kind of geek out if they do the same thing with the Wyatt family that they did with the Shield, where they give them the tag titles and a singles title all in one night.
It's possible that they could indeed have the whole world in their hands.
Yeah, so that's just kind of our thoughts on it and kind of digging into it. Well, I think we're going to do a preview show for...
That's the plan as of now. We're going to do a mini rack next week, sort of previewing the Money in the Bank, which will be available on Thursday for everybody. We also need your help. It's been a while since we've done this, but we want to throw it out to you once again for another special mini episode of The Rack, which would be for the week of July 3rd, I believe. We are bringing back Ask the Rack. We want you to ask us questions, any questions on your mind, wrestling-related, weird questions, whatever it is, we will answer them. The weirder the question, the weirder response you will get. So you can email media@wildtalkradio.com. You contact at recradioshow.com. You can tweet them. You can Facebook them. Whatever you want to do, do it. Play Ask the Rack with us. We want your questions. We're going to have some fun. Because Lindsay's on the process of moving, so we're changing things up a little bit with the show. There may be some time changes involved, but we'll talk about that in a couple weeks when we actually return live, once everything is settled, and she's back in Atlanta.
Yes. So everybody pray that it goes smoothly, because, yeah.
Yeah. So she's moving cross-country, and there's lots and lots of stress, so... This is the last time she'll be live from Utah on this show. So we will be back live in 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, because we're doing two mini shows, one for next week and one for the week after. So please get your questions in and be prepared for the Money in the Bank preview next week. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Just for everyone's information, stay up to date with us. Check the website, rackradioshow.com. We'll have information there on what we decide to do and how we're going to slightly change things once we get everything settled. Saturday night, midnight edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter, at CB Radio, WTR, and Facebook.com. So cigarette butts and bananas. Sunday is WTR, Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio. with Tim, Mason, Omega, WTR Sunday, and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. And Monday night's the Raw post show right after Monday Night Raw. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. As you mentioned earlier, I have a Redbubble store, so if you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale at Redbubble.com. Just go to the Contact Us section of my website, click on the link, and it will take you right to my store. Very select pieces are available because, well, I kind of ran into an issue with a certain company in Connecticut. So, for the time being, those pieces are available. I'm still looking into possibly getting the other ones put back up, but I have to find out what follows under parody law and what doesn't. And, well, I don't have time for that right now because I'm moving. But if you just want to view my artwork, it is all available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. All the pieces that have been featured on the WWE app are available for your viewing pleasure, as well as several others. Of course, as always, listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for the time being, until the time changes, if they come about. And also listen to all the other fine programming on this network, because we all work very hard and we'd like you to enjoy it. Please, and, you know, we can't forget, of course, our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and, of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you live in 3 weeks, but next week with the Money in the Bank preview show. Till then, bye! Growing up and the first person you kiss, and as I think back makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark up nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girl playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock's around. You just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine. Fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
WildTalkRadio.com.